Me too. I like that best.
All right, guys. See, I think the whole intro thing's corny. Like, I like watching podcasts where they don't do an intro. They just start talking.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
And then they're just like, hey, here we go.
We needed to do an intro for the first couple because you
have to. People didn't know who we were. I feel like we can do an intro right now and it doesn't really make a big deal, honestly.
I'm all right, no intro. I mean,
okay, no intro. So
what's going on, everybody?
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. Episode number 3, The Good Neighbor. See, I just threw an intro in. We're fine now. It was the best of both worlds.
Exactly. There you go.
So this is like our first remote podcast ever. And we kind of did it maybe because we are lazy to try to find a central location. Maybe because we have a beautiful guest on here this evening. We got Ian Zimmerman. Our longtime friend, I guess you could say. I don't know what else you would
call your IRL good neighbor. Your real good neighbor.
Yeah, literally, like, we're kind of neighbors, honestly. We live, like, a mile from each other. So that probably, like, classifies you as a neighbor to me. But
everybody's a good neighbor.
Everybody's a good neighbor. Everybody.
Just got to let it come
out. Wow, that kind of sounded wrong. Anyway. I'm going to have to probably throw that
you
out.
You want to just run it back? Like,
No, we're not running it back. We're going to keep going. So we got Ian here today. I met Ian at probably one of our first jobs ever when we were like 16 years old at Dairy Queen, which was an experience in itself. And we could sit here forever and talk about that. But Ryan and Ian have known each other for a lot longer than that. It's probably...
We met... I want to say it was kindergarten. I don't think we went to preschool together. We may have, but I don't believe so.
I didn't have a consciousness back then.
Yeah, you ain't wrong. I don't remember any of that. But, yeah, we go way back. Ian and I played a lot of, you know, we played some rec soccer together growing up. Obviously, you know, we grew up same school district whole way through. So that, you know, there's a lot of chemistry there. You know, we had similar interests. In high school then, we were both on the golf team, played a lot of golf outside of that. You know, Ian's an awesome dude. Ian is –
He's so who's the better golfer, though?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ryan.
Yo.
His brother, his younger brother.
Ben is nice with Ben's me. I'll give him that. But
he's golfing in school right now, right?
Yeah. Actually, he just started a podcast I saw as well.
Yeah, he just did. Tea Time or something like that?
Something like that,
We might have to have, like, a collaboration with him someday. So cool. Like, he could teach me how to golf or something. I'd be, like, the perfect candidate for that.
Hey, I've tried once,
His older brothers tried to teach me how to golf, like, twice now, and it hasn't worked out very good.
Ian, tell me how that
went.
I can coach anyone.
First off, before we get into that, I'll go in over how I know both of y'all, because I think the funniest thing is, yes, I did graduate with you, Ryan. Yes, we did go through, you know, most of our academia together, if you will. And then Colton, it may have been your first job, but it was actually my third at the time.
Okay, because you had a couple before that.
I've had too many jobs.
You can't hold a job as good as me, that's why.
Yeah, that's fair. Dude, before I met you, I worked for a catering company, and I worked as a dishwasher at a sports bar. And then I took a break for a second because I started with, like, drumline and stuff, and it was very work heavy there. I couldn't take up a job.
Had a lot on your plate.
Yeah. Then that next spring is when I applied to the good old DQ and started working with you.
Yeah. Which was, like, honestly, like, one of the best jobs we could ever have as, like, young adults, I guess you could say, because, like, the upper management there, shout out the, you know, they who should not be named, if you know you're listening to this, whatever.
They
took that job, like, way too seriously, and, like, it gave, like, us as, like, 16-year-old, 17-year-old guys, like, a little bit of responsibility that we probably never really had before, as far as, like,
and probably that we shouldn't have had.
Yeah, and the sad part is we weren't responsible at all.
Not even close.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a lot of, like, close instances with us getting fired at that job and raising a lot of heck, but it all worked out.
I mean, that was
like 6 years ago now, which is kind of crazy to think about.
I was literally there today.
Where are you?
I don't know. It's just not the same. They got rid of the booths in the corners that are rounded.
Yeah.
They
got rid of the corner booths.
Why?
Yeah. The vibe's off now.
It's all red in there now.
Like, yeah. Maybe they need to sponsor us and, you know, get the owner. She owns like 8 Dairy Queens now.
Yeah,
so I'm sure she's loaded. Maybe we should go in and film an episode of The Good Neighbor, like in the Dairy Queen with our old managers or something someday.
Lizard taste test.
Yeah. Dairy Queen was a fever dream, like the cool kids say these days. A lot of late nights and holes punched in boxes in the deep freezer. So again, if upper management of DQ was listening, all those meetings we had about kids punching holes in the deep freezer, I know there's at least two in this call. So call me a narc. I don't care.
Probably all three. A lot of late night Taco Bell runs after work. And
oh my gosh.
It was a good childhood.
We all whipped it in the bed of a truck up to Walmart the one day.
We did. I remember. Yeah. That now, who I did? Know. Didn't we leave you there?
No. We might have left Andrew there.
We left somebody at Walmart.
We left someone.
I forget who it was. I don't know. We could speculate. It's been so long, honestly. I mean, that's.
Yeah, bro.
It literally has been like 6 years since we worked there, which is crazy to think about. I mean, we're still early 20s and stuff. We got a long ways to go, but it feels like. You know, late teens was forever ago, but so that's where we met, me and Ian.
Oh yeah.
And then I met Ryan there too. That's how the Ricky Mellon. We already talked about the Ricky Mellon story, episode one. But that's how that all started. And we kind of like all became friends. Literally Ryan's first shift ever, us three hanged out and went up the Wendy's, I think, right?
Yeah, Wendy's was that the
was
spot, dude.
That was where the Wendy's we would go get the $5 bag, whatever what was it called.
It was four for four and the $5 biggie bag.
Before inflation and communism took over the United States, we had the 4 for 4.
For those of you listening, we would go up, we'd snag a 4 for 4 and then like sit in the Wendy's parking lot that like overlooked all the other shopping plazas in the area because that's all the area has is shopping
and
plazas.
Like literally like people are probably picturing like a whole city, but we're talking like you see like a shopping plaza with like 10 stores and then cornfields after it.
Yeah, you see like a Goodwill, nothing. A Snap Fitness, Scenic Napa Auto Parts. It was
your
a real
diner and bowling alley. That's it.
Yeah,
that's literally it. Walmart's on like the back end of things, you know. That's the town. That's where we grew up.
How did they ever get a Walmart? That's the real question.
I mean, I feel like there's a Walmart in literally every town.
Yeah, anymore, you're not wrong.
Like, AKA seriously.
Dollar General.
But that Walmart was, like, there early on.
Yeah.
That one was way
like, that bad. One was, like, before we were born.
Yeah, that one's
or, like, close to it.
I mean, in real talk, I would kill to take a job with you guys again. I kind of miss... taking jobs in the area, that's for sure.
Yeah, you've been bouncing around a lot, man.
Yeah, where are you at now, Tennessee?
So I'm on from Cookeville, Tennessee. So I have a little bit of an upper hand on these guys. I'm an hour ahead of them. So I don't have to stay up into the late hours of the night filming a podcast. But before that, I was in Springfield, Missouri for 4 months. I work as a recruiter in recruitment and retention. Recruitment and retention for an educational nonprofit. I work with a lot of higher ed campuses, Missouri State, and I'm at Tennessee Tech right now. So it's fun, but it's travel heavy. So it's definitely something that is not for the faint of heart as far as like living on your own in random cities.
So right? Like after you've done this for almost, this is like your second semester on the road working in college.
Almost a whole year.
Months. Like, do you like traveling for your job or is it something that you kind of want to get out of?
So I love the position and I love what I do. I feel like I have a calling to work in higher ed. I kind of really enjoyed through my alma mater. I went to Indiana University, PA, IUP, go Crimson Hawks, you know. I was part of the Greek system there, Greek life, fraternity, sorority life. I worked with the office and it's kind of what got me into working in higher ed. I kind of had an interest out of it. So I know my calling is here, but as far as the 4 months at a time on the road, it wears you pretty thin.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I feel like after you like pack your bags and you're moving on from like a college or wherever you may be, you kind of look back and you're like, man, all that hard work and time away from home really, you know, fulfilled me in a way. I mean, I feel like you get some of that too.
Yeah, I was looking to do it. That's the thing. So higher ed, you know, you have to almost be willing to move, or any form of education. So when I was getting out of this, I was like, you know, I want to work in something that's going to propel me forward. But it's going to be temporary. And while I'm young and I'm dumb and they're helping to pay expenses while I'm on the road, I might as well do it. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. So I got to ask then, which of the two campuses you've been at, which one are you more a fan of?
Colton, I know you're probably smirking because I will say that neither of these have gone to plan.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's been a bad experience.
Yeah, like as far as the area and the experience you've had maybe away from work, like what was the best? I think that's what he was trying to ask.
Yeah. Just outside of just living in the area. Yeah. Springfield, Missouri was cool. There wasn't a lot to do alone. There was a lot of group centric stuff. It's more of a city, quote unquote. I think it's just like a big town. But it was a lot of hitting the gym. Some of the cool stuff I did was it was the only lighted par three course west of the Mississippi. I went and played. It was a walking par three course, played it at night. It was open 24 hours, so I could play it at 2 a.m. if I wanted. But while it was staffed, it cost $9.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's – I'm pretty sure you sent me a video of that while you were there.
Is that like where you use the light-up balls and stuff?
I did buy a pack of light-up balls for it. It was fun. So they were actually activated. You'd hit it, and the impact would light the ball, and it would be lit for, I think, 6 minutes before it clicked off.
Oh, I always kind of wondered – like I never looked into it because I've never night-golfed, but I always wondered how – like, I wasn't sure. Like, I knew they would light it. Some of them are like a more of a glow in the dark or have like a glow stick through them, basically. But then some of them like that, I always wondered, like, how long do they stay on? How long?
I think it's 5-6 minutes.
Okay.
That's pretty
all motion sensors. I thought it was like a Rocket League or stuff, like other games like that, where you got like the cosmetic upgrades. Kids were hitting them. They were like RGB flashing in the air. I was like, where'd you guys get those? Like mine was orange. I was like, where'd you guys get that?
You get
yeah, they probably got them online or something. They like planned it out. That's probably something they do regularly during the golf. And
I think that that's definitely the coolest experience I've had on the road so far. Getting so the big thing with me is like breweries, wineries. That's where I like go for like local culture. So that's like the first places I get off my bucket list. So Springfield was home to Mother's Brewing, Tie and Timber Brewing, and Hold Fast Brewing, which I was able to hit. And then White River as well. So those were fun. And then I have like an Untappd page, which if you guys don't know, that's like a beer ranking app. So I'll go in, I'll check in. It's just a great opportunity to do something I like while I travel. I get to try some great beer, talk with some local people, and get some recommendations on other places to go. So far down here in Tennessee, I've gone to Red Silo, which is really, really good. But that's definitely where I go for the culture immediately, like once I get into a
location. What about like the food? Because you're in Tennessee now. There's a lot of like famous spots down there.
Yeah, so I know that... So I'm an hour out of Nashville right now. So I'm going to hit that actually next weekend. My parents are coming down. We're going to go hit Nashville up, check it out. I've never been. So that's definitely something
that's pretty sick, dude.
I'm interested in. But here there's actually like a lot of barbecue joints. So every week I try to hit one off the list. But the best one I've had, shout out to the Blue Pig in Cookeville. They're awesome. Some of the best ribs I've ever had.
That's awesome, right, dude. Get a little bit of different style of barbecue down there. And like, you probably get like more of that, like traditional Tennessee barbecue and that sort of thing. So that's pretty cool.
I like how you can bounce around in states down south, especially, or even into the Midwest, so to speak. And how much the barbecue changes from state to state is just incredible. I'm here for all of it. I'm here for all of it.
Yeah, Ian needs to maybe go work down in Texas for a little bit, and we can have a little good neighbor field trip down there.
Fun story. I am taking a trip to Austin, Texas in 2 weeks.
Are you really?
Reason being, my friend and coworker Drew is working at UT Austin to help with some of their guys there. So I'm going to fly down, see him, but I've definitely had Kansas City barbecue because I was in Missouri, which was awesome. Had the traditional Tennessee barbecue. To me, it's a little sweeter. And then down whenever I was in like North Carolina or South Carolina, when I've got family down that direction, Carolina barbecue is very mustard based, which I don't hate. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. Because like around here, we have a lot of barbecue joints, but it's like Pennsylvania. That's not like something state's known for. Yeah, you do get like arguably good barbecue, but I mean, it's nothing compared to some of these other states where you get down into like Texas, even that's a big barbecue state, or Kansas City, Tennessee. Yeah.
So I've had some crazy stuff. I will say, and this, I'll make this one quick. But one thing that I really enjoyed was, have y'all ever been to a Buc-ee's? And I'm saying y'all, cause I've been down here in Tennessee.
It's okay, dude.
He's a new man.
Dude, okay. I asked some students last week, I said, how long does it take to pick up on y'all? And they said 2 weeks. So
with Buc-ee's, like there's a lot of truck pullers and stuff that'll mention Buc-ee's to me. Cause we have a lot of guys coming out of like Southern Virginia and that sort of thing, or at least talk to guys down through there. And I feel like Buc-ee's, it's not even really like Virginia, Tennessee, like that kind of thing. It's Texas. Even farther south, right?
Yeah, so, started in Texas.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard about it. I've seen like food reviews on the place, but I really don't know what it is.
It's like a beaver worshiping cult that also really likes gasoline.
So there's a lot of gas pumps.
There. Okay, so I stopped in one outside of Lexington, Kentucky.
So you're in...
Did not you like say it. Beaver worshiping cult?
I'm getting there. we will hit that. Don't you worry.
Because the mascot's like a beaver.
Yeah, Buc-ee the beaver. Yeah.
I know nothing about Buc-ee's. I'm going to be honest.
I'll send you the video as well. If you want to see it, Colton, if you want to cut it into the episode right here, you can.
Okay. You'll have to send it over. Hopefully I remember.
He won't.
So I'll send it over to you. But I will tell you, so it's like a Walmart. Like it's the size of a Walmart with 75 gas pumps. It's insane. There's probably 100 parking spaces as well, just for people going in. And you'd think that food would take forever to get there, but no, they make it all fresh and just sit it all out under warmers. I was recommended to get the barbecue brisket sandwich. They smoke their brisket for like 12 hours, and then pull it off. They go through pounds of brisket a day. And why I said it's like a cult is like when they bring the brisket in, they have, it's called the Texas Roundup Station, and it's like a big circular kitchen where it's all exposed and everybody's working on something different. But every time they bring the brisket in, they slide this big piece of brisket out onto a massive chopping block, and the guy cutting it screams, "Fresh chopped brisket on the board." And then all the employees echo back in a monotonous tone, "Fresh chopped brisket on the board."
I need.
That's crazy. Currently searching up. It's like an experience. One is. Dude, I feel like there's not even one close to Pennsylvania.
No. Well, I got a couple trips planned in North Carolina this summer, so
you'll find one.
I'm gonna make sure I find one.
Find a.
Would I ever go back?
There,
maybe. But like I'm saying, everyone's got to try once.
I think it's a. Experience it once, see how it goes. If it goes good, come back. If not, you lived and you learned.
It's like everything else.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everybody got their own opinion of thing. There's like the Sheetz versus Wawa situation
Sheetz,
up
don't
here.
Don't even touch Wawa.
I've never been to a Wawa before.
Okay,
so
I have been to both, and I know Ian has for sure with all his traveling. So my take on it, Pittsburgh homegrown baby, nothing beats a Sheetz. Telling you now. But... where they differ, okay, as you know, Sheetz is home of the world's best fried apps. Some of the best. It's good stuff. You know, cheap hot dogs can't be beaten. Two for a buck.
Yeah, facts. But sorry, I always get the chili and cheese on them. So
yeah, then it's
more.
Not two for a buck. But right. Where I think Wawa excels is their healthier options. Like their subs are really good and their sandwiches, you know, stuff like that. Their wraps are really good.
That makes sense. Now, I will say, though, like this is like the most unpopular opinion I've had yet to say on this series or my life as a whole.
This might be a hot take because he said
Get-Go
doesn't like Benny
Mahomes. Is better than both of them.
Ooh.
Get-Go is a sleeper in the food game.
Yeah, he's gone.
Sit
what did you
down.
Say?
Get-Go has better food than Sheetz.
No, I'm going to cut in here. Colton would make a $20 burger at a Get-Go, and that's why it was good, because he enjoyed
the burgers are better at Get-Go. The subs are better at Get-Go. Now, the only thing that Sheetz has on Get-Go is the fried stuff. I do agree with you there. Like, their fries, the mac and cheese bites, the jalapeno poppers, they're all banging compared to Get-Go. But, like, the burgers, the pizza things, like... literally everything at Get-Go is better. Maybe not the hot dogs. The Sheetz probably still has better hot dogs. But
the Death Dogs are better.
Yeah. Quick question for you. Would you like to be my new co-host on the Good Neighbor podcast?
Dude.
Well, so I'm gonna play devil's advocate for one second, because like while I disagree that Get-Go is better than both of those, their burgers might be simply for the reason that they are owned by Giant Eagle. And if you've had Giant Eagle's burgers,
I can't lie. They do make a good burger, and their sandwiches are good in the same way that Wawa's are good. But to say Gecko's food in general is better is a hot take.
Dude, maybe we just have to make it. This is like a video we could do on the channel where we get different items from all the gas stations and try them.
Burger reviews.
We're going to do it, dude. We're going to do Sheetz this versus week. Gatgo.
This week. What day? You pick a day.
I'm literally free like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday. Lock it in. Okay. Wednesday. Sheetz burger. We'll buy one Sheetz burger. We'll buy one Gecko burger.
And I feel like we have to do that. Do we do the same toppings on both of them?
No, I think we order one burger from both places and we each eat half the burger.
Okay.
Because that way we're not getting fat.
Now, do we do the fries too? Because the fries. No,
I think that's a different thing.
I'm telling you, when you guys decide to do a review of all in one for the Pittsburgher, you let me know. I would gladly co-star on
100%. 100%.
Yeah, that works.
All right, lock it in for Wednesday.
Lock it in for Wednesday, guys. We'll have the video out like as soon as possible after that. We're gonna put this debate to the test because I feel like I'm gonna prove some people wrong here.
I'm interested to see though, because like you might have a good burger here, you might have a great burger here, but when you stack them up side by side, which one's gonna taste better?
Right. And I feel like they're in the same arena. Like those are like the two main gas station chains.
Around
like
us.
In our area, you could probably put Speedway in the mix.
Speedway is creeping their way in. Their food isn't as great, I don't think, though.
So I've had great experiences with Speedway food, and I've had really bad experiences too. Like I've went in there, and maybe it was because of the amount of hunger that I was experiencing. But I've gone into a Speedway and eaten a lot of their food, and been like, man, this is so good. And then like the last time I went was the last time for a reason, because we went in there and it was just awful, dude. Like really? I got a burger and they put like that much cheese on it. No exaggeration. And it wasn't melted.
Oh,
it was like that, so
bro,
bad.
It's funny you say that. Riley tells me this story all the time about when she was a kid, she wanted cheese fries so bad. And I don't know where she was, but her grandparents took her to Sonic. Okay. Mm. So she ordered cheese fries from Sonic. This is when Sonic was newer and stuff. I kid you not, Sonic gave her a basket of fries with a slice of cheese on top, unmelted. Unmelted.
That's borderline war crime. Yeah, like
that's a crime, dude. Like whoever made those cheese fries needs to go to prison. Scarred.
I feel bad. Like I would,
dude. That's messed up.
I would be in court with Sonic right now if you ever did that to me.
It's so messed up.
I don't know. Definitely, we're bringing the burger reviews back on the channel, so that'll be a debate that is solved eventually. It might take years. It might take decades at this point, but we're going to review a bunch of burgers, throw our scores in there. I think I need to like start over, though, because when I scored the Arby's burger so low, that like screwed my...
It was horrible. It was your worst take.
I think so, too.
Horrible take.
Was it a good burger? Not really. Was it better than what you ranked it?
Yeah, it was.
And I can admit that. Like, I think I can look back on my mistakes and say that, you know, I definitely screwed up there. You know who else can look back on their mistakes?
Oh, Jake Paul.
Oh,
yes. We just had the fight to
Fury.
Oh, my gosh. What a fight, though. I had a lot of fun watching that.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch the fight. I wasn't able to watch it.
So you can just shut your mouth for the next 25 minutes.
But here's the thing. I watched a lot of like clips of it.
Okay. So maybe I can give my hot take first.
Okay.
So I've been thinking about this because me and Ian actually watched the fight. We paid good money for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We watched the fight with Noah. Noah was supposed to be on the podcast today and he bailed on us. Bum. So shout out to Noah again.
I was second choice.
Well, I think it's cool that we had you on. Side note, because you're like the first character that I brought into my videos other than me, because nobody else wanted to be in them. And like last year, I did the truck pulling videos and stuff. You were in them a couple times.
Yeah.
So this is like cool to have you on. But anyway, Jake Paul, Tommy Fury, you know, Tommy Fury's been boxing for a long time. I mean, he has a lot more experience than Jake Paul. I think the Jake Paul hype was kind of a fluke, honestly, because we watched him beat Tyron Woodley, Anderson Silva, And in our minds, we think Anderson Silva is like the best combat striker ever, which he was. But that was 15 years ago.
I've been saying this, and you argue with me every time about it.
I know. And my main thing is I was rooting for Jake Paul. I wanted Jake Paul to win for the simple fact that I want to see Jake Paul versus KSI. And I feel like they get there. Jake has to continue to win and put on this persona that he's putting on as like, oh, I'm going to, you know, anytime, any place, I'm going to beat this guy. But what people were forgetting is this is a guy who grew up in a boxing family. His brother's the undisputed champion of the world. He's been around a guy who worked hard enough to accomplish something like that. So he knows what it takes to be a championship level boxer. So for the people that were like, oh, Tommy's not going to perform well, he, you know, it's going to be a mismatch, all that. I never thought it would be. I thought it would be a good fight. And I thought it was a decent fight. It was a clinch fest. They both lost points for clinching the whole fight, basically. But other than that, I mean, it was a split decision. I was surprised by that because I thought Tommy just outmatched them literally the whole fight. I think I had Jake winning maybe two rounds. Yeah. So,
and we talked about that. And I think that at the end of the day, Tommy Fury is by far the more experienced boxer. But
without a doubt,
and I'll say this because both of you have seen me at Jake Paul fights, like we've watched them together. Every time I say he's a hack today, mm-hmm. I can say with confidence that the man is a fighter.
I can agree with that.
He went round for round and held himself to a very high standard. He didn't fight like you can tell he was a little bit too scrappy in some of his early matches. The professionalism wasn't there. You know, he was really just more or less just settling beef that he made up on the internet to make money. But now, I mean, he stood behind his word and he went the distance with an experienced fighter. And I would say he was matched up really well.
I got to say the other thing too, when you think about it, like we talk about him like anymore, you know, it kind of hit me today. Like we talk about him like he's going to get his butt kicked this time, this and that. Like he is like about, I'm going to say six fights in at this point, maybe seven. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got some time. He's got some experience now. I mean, he's got some fights. I mean, yeah, I mean, you can argue who his opponents have been, this and that. But, like, he has faced, like, MMA fighters, like people that are trained in fighting, not so much in a boxing environment kind of thing. But they are fighters. You know, there is, you know, to survive in UFC, MMA, like, you got to be able to do some sort of stand-up. Right.
It all starts on your feet. So, they train hard. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like when you watch the fight, Jake did his same old song and dance. He jabs to the body, then he leads with a right hook or whatever you want to call that. I mean, he did that however many times through the fight. He never really just threw a jab and tried something else. It was the same combinations every time. It's been that way every single one of his fights. And usually he does the jab right hand and he wobbles the guy, knocks him out. But he went up against Tommy Fury and he did land the right hand a couple times.
Yeah, he scored a knockdown.
That's controversial in itself. Yeah. But I think like Tommy Fury did a great job at adapting to what Jake was giving him through the fight. Through the whole fight, it wasn't the same combinations. He was changing things up. He was so advanced compared to Jake Paul, where it wasn't just a 1-2. He was throwing five punch combinations, and that's something Jake probably didn't even really experience in sparring because they say who his sparring partners are. And these are guys that are kind of bums too. So it's like, I don't know. It was exciting to watch, but man, you got to give credit where it's due. I feel like Tommy Fury was just on such another level. Like it was literally like night and day difference from like Jake's skill to Tommy Fury's skill, honestly.
And I think he did well.
Without a overall. Doubt.
I think Jake Paul, at the end of the day, has gained respect from people. I'll tell you who's – I mean, I don't know if my respect could drop lower for Logan Paul, but Jake Paul gained the world's respect for being a fighter today.
Yeah, definitely.
And a consummate professional outside of the ring, outside of all of the, you know, beefing and stuff to hype the fight up. I mean, at the end of the day – you know, walks up to Tommy Fury, says, hell of a match, you're a hell of a fighter. Like, respect and credit where credit is due. Go be with your kid.
Max.
Yeah. Like, awesome. But now, does he use the rematch clause? Absolutely.
Dude, now the question I want to ask you guys is, should they rematch right away or should Jake get like another fight or two under his belt?
Here is where I want to chime in on something big that I think sets up perfect. So you said for him to fight KSI, he has to keep winning. I think he needed to lose to fight KSI. Now, he fights KSI and loses, what happens? You know,
it's over.
In general, when you look at it, his next fight is his biggest fight. Like, this was a really big fight. His next one is huge for the fact of how's he going to rebound on a loss? You know, you've never seen him on a loss. You know, that's how you define a man in life, you know, in anything. Right. It's not, you know, when you're winning, you don't see your character. You see your character when you lose when and you're try struggling. And get back winning.
Exactly.
So I think that's going to play big. You know, if he does go against KSI, I think that's going to be a really good fight right now because KSI, obviously, you know, he's got stuff to prove. Jake's got to prove more so now than ever that he can win.
Yeah, right. And I feel like with KSI, it's worse because he hasn't even boxed somebody that had any boxing experience or any fighting experience. He boxed, you know, a guy from FaZe Clan who plays Call of Duty. He boxed like two guys. Like he boxed that one guy that looked like a 5-year-old and he was bouncing him around the ring. I mean, he's got more to prove than Jake, I feel like, to go in there and say, hey, I'm a legit, you know, boxer.
For sure.
So I feel like if you put him up with Jake, that makes sense to me too, because Jake's coming off a loss. KSI needs to prove that he's on the level of Jake, right? So going into that fight, there's so much on the line. You can sell that as a promoter because it's like if Jake loses, honestly, his boxing career is probably chalked. He's not going to be able to draw as much as he is right now. I'm not saying he would, you know, quit fighting. And then
it also says it would like flip their clout levels. Like KSI takes his space as like the alpha YouTube boxer almost.
Right. Because everybody's kind of like put him off in the shadows realistically.
And I mean, Jake Paul said it on his own today after the fight. He said, don't judge me by my wins. Judge me by my losses. I'll see you at the next fight. I'm going to be better than ever.
I thought it was funny how like all the social media outlets are clipping that because they start it where he's like, I was sick 2 times in my training camp. And everybody's just booing the crap out of him, which is kind of funny. I thought that was hilarious when it happened too, but
yeah,
it should be interesting.
The only thing that I have left to say about the fight, because this is my last point of contention, the ref did not need to be a hero.
Dude. Ryan, that's like the biggest thing you missed not watching the fight.
I'm going to put this out literally like, big guy needs to mind his business and stay in his lane. Your job is to keep both fighters safe, call a clean match, make sure they protect themselves, and separate clinches and restart the fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's protecting, managing time, and making sure that you're keeping the environment going.
Literally,
this man would separate them, and I kid you not, he would burn 5 seconds off the clock lecturing them on what they did wrong.
Yeah, and then like he would warn them about, like he would warn them about stuff, and be like, "I'm taking a point now." And they did lose. Like Jake lost a point one round for hitting him in the back of the head, I think, and then Tommy Fury lost a point the round after for clinching.
I think it went the other way. I think it went the other way.
Maybe. No, it was Jake Paul first.
No, because Jake.
No, got I thought Jake's came in the clinch is what I was thinking.
No, okay.
I had it
and
backwards.
Then Jake got hit in the back of the head and they didn't call it after that. That was like the other controversial thing, which I mean, he was throwing a punch and he kind of like turned to dodge it. And it was just like, it wasn't purpose.
That's a very gray area. I feel like sometimes because it's kind of like pass interference and holding and stuff in football. Like if you're going to,
exactly,
if you're going to call every single one, like you're never going to have a game.
Right. And it's a fight at the end of the day. Like let the guys throw hands and let's see what happens.
But
And from how I viewed it, Jake Paul fighting him, and not to say I'd ever get in the ring with him, but if I were fighting him, the way that I've watched him fight and the way I've watched film of him fight, he ducks his head down. So he keeps people from being able to hit him in the back of the head. So he goes to that clinch. It's his way out. And it is your way out in boxing. You know, it's part of the sport. But the way that he gets in, when he gets in close, he ducks his head so much that you can't hit him unless you're getting up underneath him. So watching that, like, it's incredibly hard not to hit him in the back of the head with how he fights.
No, and I think the big thing with that is Tommy Fury's reach was like so much bigger than Jake's. So he had to get on the inside. So what he was thinking is that fast jab's coming out and he times it and gets under the jab and is inside and can land shots, which Tommy did a good job of not letting that happen either. So overall,
advantage, that's for sure.
It was a good fight. I can't believe Ryan didn't watch it though. He must have had something so much more important going on.
I was so busy today. I was so busy today. I was nonstop running around today. Yeah. It's just kind of one of those days.
It was a good fight though, man. I mean, if I paid good money for it, I would have been okay with it. You know,
yeah,
I was kind of
following it on Twitter and like live feeds, that kind of stuff, you know, following round by round scorecards, bouncing around websites, seeing different opinions, that kind
seeing
of thing.
What everybody's saying on Twitter.
No, I kind of avoid Twitter in that stuff because you get a lot of biased opinion. Well, I mean, you get biased opinions website to website, but like you get your Tommy Fury fans, your Jake Paul haters, your Jake Paul lovers, you know. Oh, Jake Paul, you know, he got punched 90 times in the round. But he landed a good hard punch, so I think he won the round, you know, and that, you know, so I bounce around websites and I was seeing pretty consistently, you know, the same stuff. So I knew it was pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody watching
Tommy-sided.
I feel like Tommy Fury, I feel like I saw the only judge that said that Jake won, which is why it was a split decision, was the only American judge too. So USA represent. Yeah, all the other judges picked Tommy to win. So
I
mean,
I don't know.
And stay off of Twitter. If there's one thing that's good by my guest appearance here, stay off of Twitter for fight updates. Just stay off of Twitter in general. And I don't mean to get political at all. But it's just, I just stay off Twitter. It's not a news source. It's a public.
Yeah, honestly, like social media as a whole is just getting so cancerous and. I've been trying it's hard for like with the truck pulling stuff, obviously, because we do all the promotional stuff on social media and that's where everybody talks to you on like Facebook, Instagram. If it wasn't for that, I would probably not be on social media at all right now.
I think maybe for something like this. That's the best thing to use it for, like social, like it's the first word.
But then like seeing all the other like negative things on there and all the controversy and all the political BS on there, it's like, man.
Yeah. And it's always promoted, so you can never get away from it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I try to, like, for me, I guess, like, I don't even have really a Twitter account. I made one a while ago. I don't touch it, you know. I use Instagram because a lot of my friends use it. You know, it's an easy place to post videos. You know, you can use Reels, stuff like that. You know, Snapchat, it's basically like a second. Instead of getting someone's phone number, I get their snap, you know, sometimes that kind of thing. It was easy. It's easy.
Normal text.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's the main reason I have it for that. You know, I don't really get into all the, you know, if I start seeing a lot of, you know, political stuff or like just annoying spammy stuff, I'm like, I don't want this on my feed. Like I have my feed to, you know, like, especially Facebook, like I pretty much just follow friends from high school, friends from college, family, friends, you know, just to literally keep up with people's lives, you know, seeing where everybody's getting nowadays.
And for those of you who might want to know, and just to further the conversation here, because I kind of like where we're at, honestly, I studied media through undergrad. I was a media development and media marketing major. So dual major there. And then I also studied audio production. So, was looking to actually be a host on a podcast, actually full time out of school. So funny how that comes full circle, right?
Yeah.
But from someone who studies media and media consumption habits, the way in which we consume media as a society is really just not the correct way of utilizing it. And it's what leads to, I'm sure you've heard like FOMO, fear of missing out. Or doom scrolling, you know, you're just bored and you're scrolling. And I'm sure everybody knows how to doom scroll because you're on TikTok and you're like, oh, I'm going to give myself a couple of videos. And then you're there for 2 hours.
Right.
Media is meant to be consumed the way that you take medicine, not as a primary source of society integration. And I think that at the end of the day, like, we use it totally wrong. And I'm with you, Colton. Even as someone who studied media and was looking to get into, like, social media campaigning, podcasting, stuff like that. And even doing these strategic campaigns for work. Like if I didn't have to do that, I'd probably be off social media.
Yeah.
It's not worth my time.
Yeah. I actually just had a buddy a very close friend of mine. You know, we have two different group chats on Snapchat. You know, we're always sending each other stuff on Instagram, you know, stuff like that. And he literally texted us the other day. He's like, you know, all of you have my number. You know, I'm tired of social media, you know, and he just, he logged out of his Snapchat. Like, he didn't delete it. You know, he may eventually come back. Cause Snapchat's, I feel like, the one thing that you can, that yeah. I like to hang on to. It's a little
like
different.
Out of all of them. That's the one I would keep, honestly.
It's a little different, but yeah, no, he uninstalled his Instagram. He might have deleted his Instagram. Actually, I haven't looked. I think he might have.
I don't know.
You know, it's got just rid of crazy, his Facebook, man. And he's told me how much he's loving it because he's not distracted.
Right.
Like if he wants to know some news that's going on, he's going to find it out. You know, but he doesn't have all this stuff, and especially for people our age, I think, like, you see all the influencers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you guys have seen them. I know a lot of people out there listening have seen them. You know, there's kids younger than we are, you know, making millions because they can dance on TikTok, or they, you know, they do certain things, and I get they're good at what they do. I don't want to take anything away from that, but then I feel like a lot of people our age see that and they're like, okay, well, you know, I'm not at that point in my life.
Exactly. So, and there's everything that goes with that. Like, in our age, we're in like a really transitional time period where like everybody's like graduating college or they've been working for the past 5 years. Like, everybody's timeline's like really different right now. And like, I feel like the biggest thing that people look at is like the materialistic stuff, or like the relationships people are in, or how many friends somebody has, and says, well, you know, I got to make my life look like that. But at the end of the day, somebody could be posting how much money they're making and the cars they have and the friends they have and the good looking girl they have, but they could be like the most unhappy person in the world, but they're just masking that behind the persona that they're posting online. Yeah. And then you have other people looking at that, comparing themselves to it, and they're unhappy too. And then it just all spirals out of control. So
bingo.
I
was just going to say, like, guys like us are really good at like looking at that stuff and saying, okay, well, you know, Jim Bob, that's totally unrealistic, and I'm not going to compare my life to him, and I'm happy, you know, doing what I'm doing. But there's other people that like obsess over like posting stuff on social media, making sure like their life's out there so they can feel good about themselves, and like one-upping somebody that, you know, they're looking at on Instagram. It's just crazy, dude.
And the funniest thing with that, if you don't mind, is the fact that you go talk to these people, and I've read a lot of books about this, and I've kind of grown this in kind of somewhat of an obsession with the idea of stealth wealth. Mm-hmm. You guys know what stealth wealth is? You know, the concept of the fact that you don't have to, you know, flaunt your wealth. You don't have to flaunt what you know. Your materials, right, possessions should not be indicative of how well off you are in life, because happiness isn't determined by the paycheck you get every 2 weeks. There's plenty of arguments, but to me, you know, I need enough money to get me by. That's how it is. You know, for me at my age, things that I can say, invest early and often, diversify your opportunities, whether you put that into IRAs or a brokerage account or whatever. That's what I do, because at the end of the day, I'm saving for the long term so that I can live like Zach Bryan says and burn, burn, burn. I want a well-trained dog on a couple of acres, a fine, fine lady and a place to take her, and a few good friends that I can count on one of my hands. That's it.
Cringe.
That's all I want. No,
I don't think it's cringe at all. I think we romanticize the
fast cars, and I love my fast cars, right, but like the expensive cars and the expensive house and the girlfriend that you take out to X, Y, and Z expensive place every other weekend, but are you actually happy?
And I think that's like the crazy thing about life is like everybody has their own perception of happiness. Like that's like what you want in the world, but Ryan's vision and what he wants to be happy is like totally different.
Absolutely.
And that's where, like, rolling back to it, like that's where social media kind of screws things up, because like you're looking at somebody else's life and comparing yourself to them, but your road and your journey and your accomplishments and everything that you're going to, you know, have in life is going to be so much different. So yeah, why are you being comparative?
Life in general is a very, you know, everyone's on their own path. I got two great friends. They're both currently, I believe, they're only 20 years old. They're getting married this October. You know, I'm happy as can be for them. You know, I'm actually one of the groomsmen in the wedding, honored to be. And, but for that, like, you know, I'm sure they receive a lot of, you know, like, oh, you guys are so young, this and that. But right, like, I mean, who are we to judge another person's happiness in life? Like, you know, we I think the three of us especially, we share some common interests, you know, but in the end, like we all our dreams don't look the same. All our paths in life don't look the same. Like I wouldn't go to Missouri and, you know, this and like you have Ian, you know, truck pulling especially is huge for you, Colton.
Right, but you don't like truck pulling. That's why you never come to any of the shows.
Oh my God! Oh,
we're having a moment here.
Wow, I'm having a heart to heart here, and this man just says, "Okay, well, you're not whatever,
dude." Wow.
I had to throw some humor in there, but anyway, you can continue act like I didn't say anything.
But no, like I think that's the beauty of life that gets overlooked on social media. And whenever you step away from it, you know, you go outside and like you got to spend time with the people you love and doing the things you love. I mean, that's
things for yourself, not what other people see.
And that's what I think. That's where I got a lot of respect for Ian, especially because he got out. I'm saying Ian specifically for this example, because, you know, he got out of Pennsylvania, you know, our little tiny towns that we're in, you know. He moved around. Right. He's doing all this different stuff. And in the process, like he's making friends. But I think whenever you get out and like it allows you to step away from like in high school, I think we all like you get locked into your niches, your groups of people, this and that. And like a lot of those people, like you don't really share all the same interests with, so to speak. Like there's got to be some common bonds there, but not like, I mean, how many people like Ian and I have a lot of stuff in common, and he's one of the few people I still talk to that I graduated with. You know, there's a handful of guys that I talk to. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, you don't have those interests, but the beauty of what Ian did is it allowed him to go out, you know, he's met other people and I'm sure he's made friends at both places, you know, that, and I think when you find those friends or even in college, like, you know, I stayed at college, you know, for my 4 years. So like it allows you to find people that you have similar interests with, like true similar interests or even like similar life goals and stuff like that, and really connect with them more than just people you're forced to be hanging out with because you see them every day.
And I feel like another thing too is like, you know, you get away from like your normal like routine of life, I guess you could say, and you learn about yourself too. Like you gain like a stronger mentality. Like, what am I going to do with my life? What are my goals? What do I want to, you know, what kind of people do I want to hang around and that sort of thing? So, and I feel like just in general, that's like the stage of life we're in right now. Like, no matter what arena we're in or where we're living or whatever you want to, however you want to classify that, like, it's just kind of that moment where you look back and you say, okay, well, what foundation do I want to lay for myself? What do I want to do? So, pretty crazy.
It's one of those things that I, on my end, when I travel, and I enjoy it. You know, there's a lot of upside to the travel. There's a lot of downside as well. Answer Ryan and what
we miss you. That?
He's coming back in like 2 months, man. He's gonna be the star catcher on the Outlaw softball team.
I felt bad because last time he was here, I wasn't really, you know, I had so much going on myself, and I was actually out of town a little bit that I wasn't able to hang out with him.
We didn't see Ian that much either, man.
Yeah, dude.
He has a girl now. He was up there with her all the time. And we did go shoot guns one day. So that kind
I know. I missed out on that. I would have loved to have done that. I was busy, though.
To be fair.
Defend yourself. Go for it.
I'm coming back around Easter. Ryan, we'll get a time together that we can go shoot, you know, clay. 100%, dude. And grab a beer somewhere. Separate activities, not together.
Yes, very much.
Firearm responsibility. Come on now. But we'll have those opportunities come soon.
Yeah, let's do it, dude.
I intend on coming back to PA for the long haul. I always say, bury me in those hills. That's what I want to do.
Amen, so, brother.
At the end of the day, man, that's just where it is. But I will say, I appreciate the character reference with the travel and everything, man. It's done a lot for me, and it teaches me a lot about myself.
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. Like I didn't have quite the same experience. You know, I went to college an hour from home. You know, I stayed on campus. And I stayed on campus like my entire time, all 4 years, except for like COVID times and whatnot. But like I made friends. And I think the one thing I kind of learned partially there too is like you have some friend, you have like your core friends, your lifelong friends, you know, your anchors, so to speak. But then you have like, you know, like your moment in time kind of friends. Like a lot of my friends from college and stuff like that were like, I love those guys. You know, we're still like, if they asked me to go get, you know, if I got a text right now, hey, I'm in town, you want to go get a beer? I'm saying, yeah, you know, but it's not like, you know, it's not like we're not close enough to go out of our way to like do something like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is special, man. There's going to be even more people you meet in life, and you know, they're in there for a small moment and you move on, and
they serve a purpose. Just,
yeah. They right. Serve they purpose. Serve a purpose. They might teach you a lesson. You know, they might just make good memories inside of your head at the very least. So, bad memories. I mean,
yeah, that's, I mean, you run that risk too.
Yeah.
That's
part you of sure life. Do. You sure do. I have a lot of bad memories in my head with people, but that's what keeps me going.
Oh man.
So I don't know. So, it'll be fun. Ian's coming back here in a couple months, so he'll be making appearances on the videos we have rolling out. So
yeah, we'll get
that'll
you
be sick.
We'll get you on a live one.
We'll get you on an in-person pod. We got a lot of stuff coming up though, so it should be fun to have Ian back on to discuss those things. He's a big baseball fan, and
speaking of baseball, I want to touch on this before we I created our idea this week for our top rankings, and I haven't told either of you yet.
So. Oh, dude, I forgot about the top rankings. So yeah, buddy. Full charge, whatever.
So,
this is really going to be on the baseball. Fly.
Quick baseball thing. Did anyone see what happened with the new rules?
What
was it? The game ended. Totally
screwing.
Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, two outs, and he got two strikes and he got called strike three. I think it was it Manny Machado?
No, Manny Machado.
What happened
with him? It was his first at bat and he didn't get in the box in time. So he started the at bat 0-1. So
I don't remember.
It was the Red Sox game. I forget what Red Sox
Braves.
Player it was.
Red Sox Braves.
And he had two strikes. He didn't get the box in time. They called him strike three and they went. Yeah, I genuinely don't know the result of the game.
So
but like, I hate that.
Here's the thing. Like, I think the pitch clock's dumb. I think the sport of baseball is
a
longer game. You got to accept that. If you don't want to sit there and watch a 3-hour long game, like, totally understandable, but that's a part of the game. It's been that way for over 100 years. The pitch clock, I feel like, you know, spring training, it's not that big of a deal. Like, when they get out of spring training, they should be accustomed to it. But also, like, one of the things I saw that I somewhat agree with on that is if you got rid of the pitch clock in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I kind of like that because I understand the point of the pitch clock. Because when you look at it, like, I saw a side-by-side comparison the one day of, like, the minor leagues with the pitch clock last year and then the pro leagues. I mean, he threw two pitches in the time the minor leaguer threw, like, six.
Right, and you know, think, it is – some of those big, like, star players that feel like, you know, they're so great, they'll step out of the box and undo their gloves and redo them and, you know, stand there and stare at their bat for 30 seconds. Next thing you know, you're a minute in between pitches almost. You know what I mean? So,
Or more.
Right. So I feel like it's a good thing. I just feel like, you know, one, you either have to hope that all the players get accustomed to it in a way so you don't see like that bottom of the ninth scenario.
Yeah.
Or you get rid of it in the ninth inning when it matters, when, you know, everything's on the line. You don't have to worry about taking, you know.
Yeah. And then you get into extras and you start with the man on second now. I don't
right.
like that
and
either.
You're like,
I don't like that either.
You know, there's one on second and you got to pitch every 15 seconds. Like, that's crazy, man. That speeds the game up a lot, especially for the pitcher. I mean, you have 15 seconds to regroup and throw a ball where you want it to go and the game's on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's America's pastime. Why are we speeding up something that has been an institution in America for forever?
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it, but I feel like the only thing they should do is like on the live broadcast, not show it. Cause for whatever reason, I didn't like seeing it on TV when you were watching.
I think it's hard not to, because it has to be in a spot where the pitcher can see it.
Right.
So it's kind of got to be there.
what I read is like on when the actual season starts and there's like a major broadcasting company like doing the broadcast, they're going to, you know how it's usually the camera is usually right behind the pitcher. So yeah. When they have the camera moved over, you're not going to be able to see the pitch clock anymore, which we'll see. I guess it's not that big of a deal. Like it's something to get used to for sure. But
It's like the play clock in the NFL. I mean, you're going to get used to it, but I don't really agree with much of it. I don't really want to offer much of an opinion on it because at the end of the day, I'm tackling
what everybody is. I actually watched a lot of spring training the past couple days because I'm a weirdo and just like watching baseball. But yeah. the one thing I liked was how they got rid of the shift. And there's just been so much like defensive plays.
Yeah, I do love that.
It just makes it more exciting that way.
I hated the shift.
For sure. Like you get like a really good lefty going up and he's hitting the ball and the second baseman or the first baseman or whoever actually has to make a play now. Where it's getting shot through the gap. And I mean, it makes it way more exciting. And you saw that a lot so far, just the lefties hitting it right through the gap and getting
the base hit. That's how it should be.
That's the game. But
Yeah,
that was exciting.
Are you boys ready? This is what I came up with. I think it's pretty good. I hinted to it in episode one. So
I'm scared. Go ahead.
We're going to do top three. Locking in his top three. What are your top three favorite pizza toppings? Ian, I want to come to you first as our guest.
And I have experience in the pizza field.
I know you do. Number three, what is your third favorite pizza topping?
Are we doing this like a draft?
No, not one second.
Can it be a combination of pizza toppings that you would put? Because I'm not going to say like number one's pepperoni, number two's sausage. Like, because I'm not just going to put sausage on a pizza. You got to have the
combination. We're not building a pizza here. We're just saying what are the best toppings to put on a pizza.
We're not building
combination or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right, I don't agree with this.
Do you want a top five?
But that doesn't change it though. Because like top three. You can't say like top, you know, my number three toppings, bacon, because bacon on pizza sucks unless you have like sausage or pepperoni with it.
But hold on, we're not let me bridge the gap here. I think what Ryan's trying to say is just the toppings in general. We're not trying to say like, is bacon good on pizza? Yes, bacon's good on pizza, but it's inadvertent.
I disagree with this totally.
Oh come on.
Everybody in the comments is gonna disagree.
There is no way.
I don't think so.
You can't.
I think Colton's just
like,
overcomplicating this, honestly.
That's like saying, like, what's the best thing to put on a sandwich? Mayonnaise. Well, you don't make a mayonnaise sandwich.
Well, you know. Okay, hold on. Let me just make a better thing here. If I were to say best things to put on a sandwich, and I said mayo, is that meaning that only mayo is on the sandwich? In your mind, that means that.
Right. Like you could.
Okay. It doesn't mean that.
Okay, so you're saying the best thing to put on a cheeseburger is mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Like you gotta have mayonnaise on there. I don't know, ma'am.
If I'm ideally making a pizza, it's gonna have this, this, and this on it. That's what we're trying to say.
I just don't think I can make an accurate rating. Like this is gonna be.
I'll play along with it.
Hey, I mean, Kodak Black said,
everything be off the top these days. Okay.
I feel like everybody's going to agree with me, though. Like this, you know, you got to like just put all the toppings together.
What's your best topping combinations?
I'm going to go power ranking from three being, you know, lowest to highest.
Right.
So we're gonna,
We'll take turns. We'll go around.
So in the three spot for me, I would say in the three spot for me is mushrooms.
You know, I love your answer, and I can't eat them, but I love them. They make me
so sick. You can't eat them.
They make me so sick.
Okay.
But I love the taste of mushrooms.
Especially on a pizza. You do it with a deluxe pizza. I've had a bacon mushroom pizza that I really enjoyed, but it was like fresh mushroom, solid. But that's my number three. What about you guys?
Colton?
My number three, even though it wouldn't go good just on the pizza by itself,
that's not what we're
probably
asking.
Bacon.
Okay, solid.
Yeah,
that's a good
I mean,
choice.
That's reliable. It's solid, but like also, I wouldn't just put bacon on a pizza. Like,
no,
it's
we're aware. Okay, we get it. We figured that out in the first five minutes.
You guys
got to
like pick on me. Like, I'm telling you right now, I'm a side in this argument. Everybody's gonna agree with me in the comments. So bacon.
I think everyone else gets the concept of what we're doing.
No, it just doesn't make sense. But let me explain myself for the first time on this episode. Oh, I like bacon. Bacon's awesome. But you can't just put bacon on a pizza. You got to have pepperoni and sausage or something with it. You can't just put bacon on a cheese pizza.
Why not?
You know what I mean? But it would be my number three because, like, I don't know. Bacon's good. Anyway, forward.
All right, my number three was the only spot where, and I tried not to think about this ahead of time. I tried to just think about it.
Yeah, because you
didn't. But I did do a little bit of thinking ahead. My number three, a little bit of a hot take, but green peppers.
I think that's not a hot take. Putting it in the top three
is kind of bold, but like I used to, a couple of years ago, I would have never said that, you know. But I think the green pepper really gives like. With the sauce and everything, I think it gives it a great flavor. Mm-hmm. I think it works well. You know what I mean?
Solid.
All right.
Solid.
We'll take it.
Number two.
Number two. We're about to hurt the internet with this one because it's not number one, but number two is pepperoni.
Oh, if you think
pepperoni is not the alpha pizza topping.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I could agree. But guess what my number two is?
I bet it's the same thing.
It's going to be something that you preface it's with.
It's the village pizza pepperoni. The ones that curl. Like,
yeah.
Right. Like it's it's like so crispy on the edges and it's like really.
There's no other way to do pepperoni on pizza.
Right. And then there's like all the grease like cupped up in the middle of it. It's just
like,
beautiful.
Drink it with a straw.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
You guys ever have.
You thought you had a hot take? Pepperoni's not in my top three. I do not think pepperoni is a overall great pizza topping. I think it is way overrated. Unless, you know, the kind of pepperoni Colton's talking about, love it. You know, but I think like
Regular cheap pepperoni.
Yeah, I'd rather not even have it on the pizza. I think pepperoni like is like, and I get it. It's the we're ordering a pizza, you know, everybody cool with pepperoni. Like, I get that, but I'll take a cheese pizza over a pepperoni pizza 9 days a week.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. But, dude, besides that,
I don't know, but I got to have something on it.
Nah, a cheese pizza hits different, I'm telling you. But bacon, number two for me. I think bacon is a solid option. I was bouncing between bacon and ham, you know, sticking with the pork, you know, but I gotta go bacon.
I love bacon.
Number one.
So I'm going to give an honorable mention as well, if that's okay. You guys want to give an honorable mention?
I will do an honorable mention. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic, because we're going to do it. I'm actually technically at two, but we'll just go with my number one overall sausage. Sausage on pizza is just the alpha topping. It has to be. All day long.
Are we all going to agree on that?
Baby.
That was my number
Nothing
one.
Better than
are we all agreed there?
What kind of sausage, though? Like, how would you like your sausage on the pizza?
So there's a certain kind that is always up for debate. And in my career as a pizza delivery driver for a hometown pizza shop, let me tell you.
Another job you've had that we didn't mention earlier.
I'll go through the list of jobs at the end. I'll see if I can recall all of them.
Okay.
But there's two kinds of pepperoni, or not pepperoni, two kinds of sausage that we did. One was like a fresh, like crumbled sausage, right?
Yeah.
The other was like your almost processed sausage chunks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Those are the better ones.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
And look, like, and I say this with love as everybody's favorite Italian. Fresh sausage on pizza, you can't beat. You put that with a little bit of basil, olive oil, like honest, solid. But if I'm ordering a pizza from some mom and pop shop,
you want like the processed, like almost fake sausage. You want
give me the artery clogging sausage that I can hear my left ventricle slamming shut.
Yeah, facts.
Kind of like the stuff that's like the size of like your thumb.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Tip of your thumb, like here. It's like,
yeah. And it's just like a little ball. Say like,
yeah.
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 That's fire.
Just a ball of processed, like McDonald's breakfast sausage goodness, honestly.
Literally the sausage that every pizza shop around here uses. Like,
yeah.
Besides Lobinger's, they use like a, they like crumble up the,
they do the fresh crumbled sausage.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Do you so like, what's the honorable mention?
It's do you like a hotter sausage or a milder sausage?
Oh, you got to go hot sausage.
Yeah, see, hot that, for I sure.
The mild like sausage is good, but if I have my choice, it's hot
not
sausage.
Like hot, but not mild. Yeah, like, there has hot. To be a little bit of tang yes. to it.
Italian hot. That's, yeah. Italian that's hot. What I'm saying. Yeah, okay, I can agree with that.
Honorable mention. Y'all ever have hot honey and put it on pepperoni pizza?
I have not, but that sounds...
Go get chili honey or chili oil honey, like hot honey.
Yeah.
Put it on pizza with pepperoni, and it will change your life.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, try it this week. It's
well,
it's
we'll have to
awesome.
Try that out.
Interesting.
It's really good. It adds a tang. It adds a heat. It adds like this freshness to it that like it's really good. It's just like the perfect sweet, savory, and spicy.
Colton, you got an honorable mention for us?
So yeah, my number one was obviously sausage. Yeah. My number zero. I was gonna say my honorable mention. It's too late for me. This is past my bedtime. That's why I'm really starting to argue and be ticked off the whole time. Honorable mention again. You have to like back this up with something. But banana peppers,
solid.
I think it's.
You right. have to back it up with anything. Give me a pizza with banana peppers only.
I'm not the biggest banana pepper guy, but I like them. Like I'm not one to order them myself.
Thinking back on it. I haven't had a pizza with banana peppers on it for years, but I would like now that I've talked about it, I would totally do it like really soon.
You do sausage and banana peppers. It's awesome. Yep. You might get a lot of heartburn, but it's part of the process.
Yeah. I mean, it's something different. I wouldn't order it every single time, but it's something to like change things up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha. And I will obviously echo both of you, and sausage is the king of pizza toppings. I don't think you can go wrong with it. It is just, as the Italians do, I think. I don't know. You know, that's I don't want to stereotype, but
a little insensitive there.
Yeah, that's
I'll let it slide.
Sorry. I'll let it slide. I apologize if I offended anybody.
Yeah, you offended all the Italians. They went like all of our viewers that we had last week, all 93 of them. Way to go.
I messed up. But yeah, no, I think it's the king. I think it's for me never gonna be dethroned. Honorable mention for me. I kind of had two in a way. I guess one I really do enjoy, and it is different in enough way that I think I'm going to go with it. And it's when you get the fresh mozzarella on the pizza, like
fresh mozzarella changes the entire
experience. It's totally different than like, you know, just mozzarella. Like when you get the chunks and you're chucking them on there,
I
you get your pizza
saying.
And you got like the puddles.
Yes.
So to speak, a mozzarella.
100%. Dude, I just experienced, so Panera Bread has like flatbread pizzas.
Yeah.
And I just got one last week, and that's what they do. They have like the chunks of cheese all over it, and you get like, you pull a piece out and you get like the big chunk of
so
cheese
good.
In there with the sauce. So it's like game changing.
I'm telling you, take this to your grave. It's the best homemade pizza you're ever going to make. You got to go and you got to make your own dough or get a very, very solid pizza shell from somewhere. I'm not talking frozen, like get fresh pizza dough from somewhere. I'm telling you, make your own sauce, San Marzano tomatoes only. None of this Roma tomato. Don't pick them out of your garden. Like it's enough time being trendy. I need you to go get the Nona sized, big fat. Yes. Everybody from Western Pennsylvania has seen this in their grandmother's kitchen or in her basement.
I mean,
massive thing of San Marzanos, and you crush those with your hands only. Okay, you season all you need is salt, pepper, garlic, a little bit of crushed pepper, and then I'm talking high quality olive oil. If it says great value, throw it out because you could probably power it. All right, from there, you cut off, you get the fresh low moisture mozzarella, or actually more, you know what, at this point just get fresh mozzarella. If for any of you in Western Pennsylvania, just go to Delala's
yeah,
and say
Delala's, yeah, facts,
fire.
Dude,
they'll hook, fire. You up.
They'll hook you up. So fresh sauce, fresh mozzarella, And if your sauce isn't chunky, you're not doing it right. I'm telling you, crank your oven up as high as it can go, get a pizza stone and a pizza steel, and you're in business, man. It's awesome. Best pizza you're ever going
to
have.
Dude, let's go. Yes, you're just going to have to make us a pizza sometime. I'm going to. We're like scheduling all these different video ideas, but
you have a Blackstone, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of video ideas.
I'll make a pizza show on the Blackstone. We'll grill it.
Well, we have to find a way to cover it.
Yo, I bet I could throw something crazy.
You can't just throw something out on the damn Blackstone and it's not going to cook the top of it very good. So
that's fine. We're going to, it's a shell. We're just going to cook it. We're going to flip it on both sides. We're just cooking.
All right. We'll figure it out.
We'll get it done. I'll make it. We'll do it like, be like the chef for it.
So Ryan, you said about video ideas that you got going on.
I got my camera ordered, my GoPro now. And so I'm, as fishing season's getting closer, I'm starting to I'm going to try once a week dropping on my pages and stuff that I got, trying to drop some, some fishing content and stuff. I'm on a couple pro staff, so got to show my love to them, really love the two companies that I'm on the pro staff for. And with having the camera now, and spring turkey's coming up too. So spring I plan on getting some videos out and stuff. And I'm excited to see, the GoPro's not the most ideal kind of thing. Like it's really good for fishing videos.
I think it'll be convenient though, because you just hit record and you get everything in frame. And
that's what I want for now.
That'll be sick.
For turkey, it's not the best, but figuring I'm going to be by myself most of the time. I could get people, but then you gotta, adjust your spots for two people. And personally, I it's a lot easier that way. I go with my dad a lot for turkey. So it's kind of like, he's 60 some years old. He's not up with the tech. He's not going to work a camera.
I'm sure he's a gobbler on camera. Has got to be a power move.
So I'm pretty excited for it. I'm going to get some practice videos in. But I definitely look to as spring starts coming, to start getting some of that stuff out for sure. So I'm excited for that.
It's gonna be unreal. We got
as three avid outdoorsmen. I have killed an animal, harvested an animal on video, and it gives you a whole new respect.
Yeah.
What did you kill on video?
Shot a buck my sophomore year of high school. And I dropped it, and I'll tell this story real quick because it's actually amazing.
We got time. We can sit here all night. Go ahead.
I'll tell this story because it's just great. So my uncle, is a heck of an outdoorsman. My uncle Jason, I learned a lot of what I learned because of him. So a little shout out there, but he filled his tags for the season, for rifle. So we're out and he's like, I'm getting out in the stand with you. I was like 16. He's like, I'm getting out in the stand with you because I've never videoed someone shooting a buck. I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know. I mean, we were up in the mountains at our cabin. We're like, okay, we're looking for bucks and whatever comes up. I'm like, at this point, if it's brown, it's down. It's my last year before I have to start counting. I'm getting up to the age where I got to start counting three on one side. So I'm like, look, at this point, like if I have the opportunity to harvest a decent sized animal, I'm going to do it. All of a sudden, walking up through this clearing, we have this like clearing line of brush to get a path up to my stand, and I just see two does sprint, and I'm like, oh man, okay, so there's a buck behind it. There's got to be a buck behind him. Sure enough, there's a 4-point coming behind it, and I'm like, all I can see if I'm on a profile is the neck up. I'm like, and I know this log line goes all the way up to a hillside, and then you can't see the animal. So I'm like, the minute it comes to this clearing, that I'm kidding you, I'm in this room that's probably about 11 feet wide. It's probably that wide. I'm like, in that area, his neck and head are going to be the only thing exposed. And I'm taking the shot. I'm taking it there. So sitting there, and you know the feeling. And every time you have an animal in your sights, like you cannot, like nobody has nerves to steal. So I'm sitting there shaking, gun up, kneeling in my permanent stand because there's nowhere to adjust the gun angle. So I'm kneeling, my uncle's up over top of me. I go, eh. Thing looks at me, I shoot clean down through the head, split the antler rack in two, drop it on the spot.
I expected that story to end.
If it was down, it was down, and that was the motto, and you better believe
it. I guess you sabered all the meat shooting it that way, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, and all the tracking, bro, I dropped it on the spot.
Yeah, oh my save you gosh. A lot of time. Yeah,
that's how I found the video.
Amen to that. The fact that, like, the nerves of steel thing you said, dude, I shot 60 this year, and I, you know, and I passed on a lot early in archery season.
Dude, Ryan has like the most goated hunting spot out of all of us.
I have a couple.
Not to mention there's like a 20-foot high fence around the whole thing, and we don't know about it.
No, there's not. I'll take you there. When I go to take some stands down, I'll
here's
take
what
you.
I want to do. I want to come film you hunt this
dude,
season.
I got a couple perfect spots for that. I've already mapped it out. Got some,
because I'm even like, even so, like, I'm thinking about getting a saddle. So if there's like spots that you're hunting in a lock on or something, I mean, that would be super easy.
Yeah, I got a hang and hunt set up, and I plan on getting a saddle myself, so we'll be pretty mobile. But
yeah,
a lot of
sick.
Where I'm at, you know, I got some trees where, you know, it would be real easy for you to get right above, or I got a couple double, you know,
yeah, that would be
bang
sick.
Bang.
Imagine.
And I got a couple really good areas.
Imagine we get a trophy buck here on the Outlaws channel.
Bro, that'd be sick. We talked about it. Was that last? It was
dude,
2 years ago.
Last year, we were like super hyped about filming a hunt.
Well,
and
that's, that wasn't coming into this season. That was the season before. And that's when I tore my ACL.
That's
before
right.
the season.
Yeah.
I tore my ACL on my left knee, and I wasn't sure how much I was going to be able to hunt. And I said, screw it. I went and hunted the first evening and killed a buck the first evening. Limped in and out of the stand, you know.
Did
I had
you
to help,
see
had to help have people help me drag it out because I had like no ability.
Yeah, that sucked. Did you see where they're trying to pass through Sunday hunting again?
Can't wait.
I hope they do, dude.
I have mixed feelings on this in a way, because like I do understand like tradition and stuff like that. I think as a hunter, you have to have some respect for tradition. In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And they're doing a great job, I think, here in PA of adjusting laws and stuff like that. Like, they passed the law. You don't have to send in pink envelopes anymore. I don't know
if
you knew
that or sick.
Not. You can buy doe tags over the counter.
Right.
It's still regulated and stuff, but you don't have to send in anymore.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of that. But as far as the Sunday hunting, like, and I get that. You know, you got your religious people. You know, my dad's a big advocate of, you know, it's your day of rest. You know, this and that. You know, you have your crazy people out there. You got to give the animals a day to rest. Dave, I don't give me none.
They
got
to go to church too, Ryan.
Don't give me any of that. You know, they're in the wild. They're being, their life is survival. Every day is survival. But I think there's a beauty in the fact of, like, for example, the people that go to church. You know, Sunday's a big family day. It always has been, at least in my life. A lot of times, you know, you have a family dinner. You know, you get together with some family out of town, that kind of thing. Just, you know, one day thing. How great would it be? Like, you know, I have a cousin that lives up near the New York border. Don't see him a lot, but every time I do, you know, we're either golfing, we're hunting, you know, how great would it be to go out, just take a walk, kill two pheasants.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what a better time to spend with family than doing something you love.
And
you
like
know,
the
you're
other
out
argument,
you're out in the great God's creation
there.
And like
right.
living it up.
The only thing you can add on there is too, like, you know, a lot of people work during the week, so they only get Saturday to hunt, but
one
if
day.
You allowed Sunday hunting,
yeah.
you would
I
have
mean,
Saturday and Sunday to
I
hunt.
I mean, when you look at it in the PA archery season alone, I mean, you get, I mean, now they allow a couple Sundays, you know, it's three Sundays in a row, one in archery, one for bear and one for deer rifle.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you really break it down, you might get 6-7 maybe hunts in archery season. That's
right.
I mean, that's not
from
a lot.
October to the middle of November, you're
yeah,
getting
you get
seven
like,
sits in.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'd make the argument that, like, yes, you know, growing up and understanding, yes, Sunday, you know, is your day to take it easy. You know, it's the Lord's day. We take it easy. That's how it goes. That's how I was always raised. Did I, you know, did I still clock into the old DQ on Sundays? Yeah, I had no, I had no control. But Sundays, you know, I was blessed enough, and I know you guys were too, to grow up in very family-centric homes. But not everybody is. And also, yeah. I would even argue that, you know, we talk about day of rest, you know, day of reflection. A lot of people, I mean, I've had some of my best times with myself sitting in a tree stand.
Bro, no better time if I had thoughts than when, you know, it's me sitting there watching the sunset.
Yeah.
As
like
Thanos
the most
would
peaceful
say on
thing
a
in the world.
Universe.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's one of those things I advocate for the Sunday hunting, because yes, do I respect tradition? Yes. Do sportsmen need to respect the great tradition of the fact that we leave Sundays open? Yeah. But you got to be understanding that it is all, the playbook's always evolving. I'm going to quote against Mike Tomlin. The standard isn't always the standard.
Yeah. Even like my point of view, like from the time, even before I was born, my dad and my uncle hunted in Ohio. So until I was old enough to hunt with a rifle in Pennsylvania, that's the only hunting like I knew was Ohio hunting. And you can hunt Sundays in Ohio. Yep. So when I got older and, rifle season comes along, and dad only got to take me out on a Saturday. So that's realistically 2 days a year.
He got stopped by a game warden on Sunday hunting, I bet.
What's that?
I said you probably were out on a Sunday in PA and got stopped by a game warden and said, I thought I was in Ohio.
We're citizens. We're lawful citizens. But I don't know. If they changed it, I would honestly be pretty excited about it, honestly, because that's just one more day out of the week that you can hunt. And for the traditionalists that are, saying that's more of a family thing, maybe they can just keep that tradition going in their life and bring it down to their kids. And
I'm all for it. And like a lot of my fishing stuff is on Sundays. So right now it's kind of like a nice balance.
Yeah.
Especially in the spring with spring turkey season. I hunt Saturday. I'm going to fish a tournament Sunday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That
makes
of thing.
Sense. Speaking and the other thing is too, just to make one more comment about it, as far as an outdoorsman or a hunter and that sort of thing, Sundays, you can't hunt, but there's other things you can do on a Sunday as a hunter. You can go move cameras around. You can go move a tree stand around and that sort of thing. So
just get out and be out there.
Right. That kind of thing. I mean,
speaking of spring turkey, coming up, I told a man who was supposed to be our guest today that we were going to spring turkey hunt.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to him about it, see if he's still game.
He'd be game.
I know you guys were shooting in his new bow. He finally got a bow. He's going to get into archery. Dude, I'd love to get him out and try and get him on his first deer. I would
I'm looking forward to that.
We'll talk
to 3D shoot this summer.
Bro,
today we had a shooting range in my backyard for his first time shooting a bow. He's pretty good. Gave him a few pointers on his form and stuff, but by the time he left my house, he was grouping all the arrows up really close. And I'm like, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, I'd love to, come hang out with you guys.
Yeah, that's definitely
I want to check out your bow sometime, because I know you got the original
reliable
Matthews,
baby,
and I got the brand new original. Matthews.
It's the original Solo Cam.
Yeah. Solo Cam, really?
Yep.
I've never seen your bow. That's new to me.
I thought I showed both of you guys that one day at my house.
No, I haven't seen it, because I have the V3, so I've got
So you got the newest thing.
Three models old now. They have the V3X and then the new Phase 4.
Okay. But they're all under the V3 tagline or whatever, right?
Kind of. It's all basically the V3, V3X. There's not a whole lot to change. The Phase 4 changed a lot. But I would say of the V3 was basically the second rendition of the V line, so to speak, because they had the VXR the year before the V3. But yeah, no, I love my Matthews. I love my Matthews bow. I shot a bunch of bows when I bought mine.
The different brands and all that.
Yeah, I went up. My cousin hooked me up at a bow shop up. It's in Elmira, New York. I don't know if any of you guys know where that's at. Barrett's Bow Hunting. Big shout out to them. Awesome, family run. The guy that runs it's super cool dude. He had, when I say hundreds of bows lined up in that shop, I do mean hundreds of bows.
That's sick.
I shot Matthews, Elite, Hoyt,
all the big names.
You could have shot it all. You could have shot it all.
That was probably nice too, just to feel them in your hands.
Yeah. I mean,
and shoot them all and see what works best for you. Yeah, everybody has preference. And
yeah, I love the Matthews, I settled on what I liked, and, I've killed, I don't want to say six.
Well, you had a Matthews before the new one, right?
No, I had a PSE. PSE before.
Yeah, I feel like I want to definitely hunt with the 1995 solo cam a little bit. But when I upgrade, sure, it'll probably be a newer Matthews, man.
I would definitely say shoot around. Hoyt makes nice bows.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a lot of, and you're starting to see too, I think, a lot of, you know, those low brand bows that couldn't afford the marketing and this and that, you know, are starting to, like, they've caught up on the technology.
Well,
the
look technology, at Noah's bow.
Yeah,
he has the new bear bow.
Yeah, he's got a bear bow. Bear makes great bows. Bear makes
it's a really nice bow.
The hunting public is a big advocate of bear bows.
Right. He was gonna buy the Adapt, which is like the
THP
one, but he went with another one. I think it's called the Paradox, maybe.
Okay,
and it's a really nice. It draws so smooth, like, for the price he got it for, like, it's a really nice bow. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to getting him out there. We have a lot of permission we're getting and spots we can hunt this year, and it should be fun. Between the three of us, we might have some awesome content coming.
Yeah, dude. I'm
really like sick.
I'm hoping.
Maybe I'm when Ian comes back, he can get a part of the hunting public Outlaws edition.
Well, hey, all I'm saying is I've got a cabin up in the mountains. My grandpap is very excited to get some groundhogs taken care of. So let's go.
Oh, bro, I would love to.
As long as we go up, I was saying the one day, you know, shout out to my family. They're fantastic. My grandpap,
if they've watched an hour and 24 minutes in.
Shout out to them for that. They said, you know, if you want to go up, just do something to be productive up there. Cut some grass. Whack some weeds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
do something.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I think that goes across the board. You know, anywhere that I hunt, like, I try to. It's a general rule my dad always taught me. You know, you want to leave the place better than how you found it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it always irks me a little bit when you see, like, you know, a Mountain Dew bottle or a wrapper, so to speak, in the woods. Like, I don't get it. Like, it was heavier when you carried it in than when you carried it out. Why can't what's so hard about carrying it out?
That's so true.
Never understood that. But I'm in a definitely an interesting
like that,
spot.
Man.
But yeah, dude, let's do that sometime. Let's go wax some hogs.
I love how like this whole podcast, we've just slowly been making more plans for the future and stuff.
That,
I like it.
Connections.
You love
in
to
life.
See
that's
it. What
that's being a, that's
about.
Being a good neighbor right there.
You were happy too.
Being a good neighbor.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think as far as my tech,
you got anything else to say to the viewer?
Yeah, I feel like we're jumping all over each other because we're excited right now, but we're all hyped up, and we'll take this offline and talk a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
I know I'm going to hop on Discord for a little bit, so I'm sure we can talk a little bit.
Yeah,
if you guys
I
got to
edit
down.
This. It's currently Sunday night. We're dropping this thing Monday morning, so we got less than 12 hours.
Such is life.
We had some delays this week and stuff.
Such is life.
It happens.
Yeah. Listen, but I would say episode one. I'm sorry, Ian.
No,
I
you're
keep on cutting you off. Go ahead. Whatever.
it is, and it's the latency between us. So it's you know, somebody starts talking before somebody. It's whatever. In closing, for me, my only closing remarks is thank you guys for bringing me on. Am I the first guest on?
You are the
first guest ever.
We wouldn't want anybody else. I guess we picked Noah, he's a scumbag.
Get on the podcast.
You're
such a nerd not getting on our podcast.
Wow. No, I think we really like the idea of having you on as one of our first guests because you were like you were the connection between Colton and I. Like you were the guy at Dairy Queen that. You got me hooked in there. You know, he was he was the one, you know, you were the guy he asked. He asked you, when's that Ricky Mellon kid start? You
right.
Know I mean?
Yeah.
And
I really was
like,
the.
That's where it all blossomed. Dude,
and for like the channel as a whole, like Ian was literally like the first face on the, you know, this platform.
Yeah.
Like
I guess
last
that wasn't
year.
You. Yeah.
So then it was kind of cool to like mix the two worlds and now it all makes sense. Now we like combined last year's content with the rebrand here and it's a good time.
And I think that, like, you know, the reason we were gonna not have you on at first was the sheer distance factor. You know, we thought about trying to wait until you were closer and then, you know, Noah
not doing
you know,
the remote
the plan with Noah kind of fell through and then you know we kind of had some different stuff going on today and we wanted to get this put out. We had a couple plans fall through this week and you know like you said earlier tis life but like you know then the opportunity arose and we're like you know let's get Ian on
I'm
happy
to
be here.
Good.
Always fun to get in front of a camera and chat with you guys. Also I will say I'll make it up to you. We'll do an episode in person. I have some ideas for some segments I could bring to the table for that
one. Yeah, buddy.
I would love to host you guys in the man cave in the basement.
Dude, let's do it.
Speaking of, what I told Ian is, so Ian's family around here is like famous for the raviolis and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we got to have a ravioli.
Let's do it. I'm so,
yeah,
bro, I've got some segment ideas. I'm game.
We'll discuss this sometime.
But
yeah,
I'm very excited, guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
This was episode number 3. Let us know what you thought about the remote rendition of the podcast, if you enjoyed it or not, because we might do this more in the future if we can get different guests on and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of connections that are, you know, not really accessible for us to,
right,
you know, hook up with. And, you know, at our age, it's not easy to be like, hey, you want to come in for a podcast episode? Like, it doesn't.
And we, you know, if we can get like a higher, we have a lot of guests that we could get on that I think you guys would find really interesting, even like, you know, in the truck pulling space and the sports space, that sort of thing. We have a lot of connections there, but they might not be able to drive, you know, to where we live and do an in-person episode. So we might have to pull this out every once in a while. And I think,
I'm thinking, you know, you're going to see, I think this here next episode, next week, episode 4, you're going to see a little bit of change of scenery. I think we're going to be out of the garage. Yep,
we're going to have a little scenery change, you're going to see that a lot on the podcast.
This is a good neighbor podcast,
so we're going to go through the neighborhood and
show
you all the different places we can go. So
yeah, absolutely. So stay tuned for all that. You know, I appreciate everybody tuning in, listening, watching wherever you're at. You know, grateful for everybody. I'm grateful for you two boys that I'm staring at on my screen right now. You know, love you all.
Be sure to smack that subscribe button. Or if you're on Spotify, save the podcast, download it. Do whatever you got to do, man. We got to make it. Yeah. You can't do it without your support.
We're all neighbors, baby. All right,
guys. We'll see y'all next week.
All right.
Goodbye.